You are listening to Morning Edition here on 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. Each week during Black History Month, we're going to bring you a discussion centered around African American issues. Tonight, we're going to focus on the topic of double minorities in society, namely Black women. What are some of the issues that are facing Black women today, and what steps can be taken to achieve greater equality? Joining me now in studio is Stephanie Sears. She is a visiting assistant professor of Africana Women's Studies at Clark Atlanta University. Good morning,
Good
Stephanie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you in-house today. So is gender or race the tougher challenge facing Black women today?
It's neither. Race nor gender, it's tougher. They both are tough. And the problem with that is because when we have these multiple camps vying for our attention and, let's say it more plainly, our loyalty, it makes us split our energy such that our integrity is always questioned and we become the person who fills all these gaps. We are the both and person. And the consequence of playing everyone's filler is that we never get to have the power of a focused energy directly committed to the alleviation of our own pain. In addition to race and gender, we've got class, sexuality, age, abilities, you know, and so I think what continues to present us with challenge is the demand that we divide our loyalties among the group. Until that question is shifted, we're going to continually face this problem.
So as President Obama was beginning his final months in office, there was this call on social media, pretty much a massive call for Michelle Obama to run for office. And I must admit, the first time I heard that, I thought, really? A Black woman? Is our country ready for something like that? So my question to you, do you think our country is or will ever be ready for a Black woman president, especially in this environment that we're in right now where we're so racially divided?
It's a very good question. And I think I'd like to tackle that from the perspective of readiness. You know, what would that readiness entail? And to that, I would have to push back and ask some questions, some serious questions to the country. You know, is it ready to accept its culpability in its crimes against the innocent ones? Is it ready to renounce privileges, particularly its role in maintaining certain privileges at the expense of others? You know, are we at a place where we've dismantled patriarchal privilege or dominant ways of thinking? And I think there's a lot of soul work, clearing work of generations of injustice that needs to be addressed before we can even get to a level playing field. So to answer your question, no, we're not quite there yet. We have some work to do.
Speaking of work to do, one of the things that we probably have to do some work on is the image of Black women in society. Speaking of Michelle Obama, she was accused very early on in her husband's presidency of being an angry Black woman. New York Times, I think it was a style editor or writer, referred to her as an angry Black woman in a tweet. It was quickly deleted.
Yes.
But that image has been represented over and over again.
Yes.
There have been reporters and people that have referred to her, and she's not the only woman that has ever been referred to that way. What is, first of all, the history of that image of this angry Black woman, and what can we do to change that?
Yes, it's a very longstanding image, and I like to think of it as a kind of trope or a repeating motif that we see again and again. And, you know, when I think about that as a metaphor that serves a symbolic purpose in this larger society, I think of it as an ideology that's been seeded in the consciousness of America. But when you really think about the history, given our history in this country, you know, Black women have been abused, they've been systematically and economically exploited, they've been physically violated, they've had no protectors, they've seen their men, their children brutalized, killed, lynched, You know, they were forced to be the wet nurse for other people's children. So when you really think about it, given the constant threat to the personhood of Black women have a lot to be angry about.
You know, I'm thinking about a recent Fortune magazine article which talked about the divide and talked about the fact that in business, you will see that white women, they were saying that at S&P 500 companies, white women make up 21% of executive and senior level positions. And African-American women and other minorities, but mostly African-American women, represent less than 2% at these businesses. And you're talking about the fact that we as Black women are talking about our pain.
Yes.
It's represented in businesses. So how can we begin to address that in a way that we can listen to one another and bring, first of all, women together so that we can move to bring really the world together?
Absolutely. It's a really important question. And I think one that requires us to look at our strengths. You know, African-American women have had to see the beautiful and the broken and the torn down. They've had to make a way out of no way. And they bring a kind of skill and tenacity that is often hidden in plain sight. You know, we see that in, you know, for example, mothers of the church, when they come together to create some kind of change or movement, they get it done. What I'm saying is that represents a kind of skill that is often neglected and obscured, but I think that there exist already the seeds for the transformation we seek.
I've been speaking with Stephanie Sears. She is a visiting assistant professor of Africana Women's Studies at Clark Atlanta University, and we'd like to thank you so much for coming by to talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is the second part of our Black History Month series. You can find all of our discussions at gpbnews.org.